Welcome to Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Hey, good morning, everybody. A happy Mother's Day to everyone. You're all going to enjoy the day somehow. So happy Mother's Day. You all have mothers, am I right? Most of you. You were born from a mother, I'm sure. There's no other way that God brings us into this world. Incredible. And especially happy Mother's Day to every mom. And that's not just those that have had biological children or adopted children, but through who they are in the image and likeness of God, care for and love and bring life and love to this world as you are. So God bless every single woman and every single guy that sometimes acts like a mother. Honestly, there are times where I do need to change the nappy. And so I'm claiming Happy Mother's Day, yeah, too. And there are times, yeah. I'll do the next one. I promise. Please, could my beautiful wife, Sharissa. My name is Brad. If you don't know me, I have the privilege of being on the eldership team here and leading the team that God has called to care for and love and lead this church. And this is my beautiful wife, Sharissa. And today is the first time that she's going to be preaching on a Sunday in church in this context. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm going to amen every point. So... And she is a woman I want to honor. She's an incredible, incredible girl. She's an incredible daughter of God. From the first time I saw her, God said, "She's your wife." And I was like, "Thank you, God." And because I didn't meet her in a bar or anything like that, I met her in a prayer meeting. Sounds very spiritual and very holy. But honestly, just from the first day in God's presence, seeing Sharissa, I knew, wow, that's a blessing if it's for me. And she has been for me and for our kids and for everyone. She's a kind of person who's not selfish, and she blesses and loves people. And so I'm grateful to you, babe. And she's an incredible daughter, incredible sister, incredible friend. If you know her, you're blessed. And if you don't get to know her, you'll be blessed. And this morning, you're going to get to know a little bit of her. But I just want to pray for my beautiful wife. And I can't wait for you to preach, babe. I think I'm going to get saved this morning. Lord, I want to thank you so much I want to thank you, Lord God, for the good times, and I want to thank you for the tough times. Sometimes we don't thank you enough for the tough times, because it's through those that we saw your power and your glory, and I saw that you were in Sharissa through those times. And I've seen that you have been manifest through her, after those times and in the good times. And God, every single one of us here go through things, and every single one of us here have victories, and every single one of us have battles. But Jesus, I pray that even through Sharissa today, that your spirit would anoint her, that she's not just my wife, she's your daughter. She's called by you. If I'm not around, she's still called by you to bring the word of God to people. And I thank you, Father God, that you use her today in her own right by your anointing upon her. And thank you, God, that you speak through her to us. May we, every one of us here, take away every preconceived idea and listen to the word of God to our hearts and be transformed by that as we receive it well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be very vulnerable and honest with you this morning, so I am nervous. When I'm faced with any challenge in life, the first thing I say is, God, I can't do this. Going into full-time ministry, even though I heard God very clearly, the first thing I said was, it can't be me, it needs to be someone else. And just infertility, whatever we've had to face in the last 14 years, my first and default reaction is always, God, I can't do this. And I'm obviously a very slow learner, because who can guess what my reaction was to being asked to preach this morning? That is my default until I allow the Holy Spirit to start talking to me and to start ministering to me, and He convinces me otherwise every time. So as terrifying as this is completely out of my comfort zone. I have to speak today because Jesus has done too much in my life. I'm compelled by His love. He has done everything. I cannot keep quiet. So this morning it's a privilege to share a little bit of my journey, and I trust that I can encourage you in yours. So please, if we can go to Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Isn't it so freeing to know that I can lay hold of something that Jesus has already done for me? He has set us up for success. We cannot fail. He has done it. And the day I got saved, I did not get saved through my own efforts. I only had to believe that Jesus has done it for me. And to say simply that Jesus died on the cross just to forgive me my sin is great, but that's not all He did. The day Jesus died on that cross, He did a lot of things. Here's some of the things that He laid hold of for us. Jesus absorbed the wrath of God. Jesus showed obedience. Jesus showed us how to love sinners. He abolished the law. He became the ransom for many. He died for the forgiveness of our sins. The death that Jesus died for us brings us to faith. His death makes us holy. His death brings physical healing. The day Jesus died, He reconciled us to God. His death makes me free from sin. His death enables me to live for God. It enables me to live by faith. His death gives my marriage a deeper meaning. His death makes me passionate to do good works. His death makes me a follower of Jesus. He's freed me from the fear of death. He's destroyed hostility between races. And Jesus dying on the cross is the only thing that gives us real joy. Jesus has done so much. He has taken hold of all those things. So the day I got saved, He took my feet, like that psalm, from miry clay, and He set me on a rock. He set me on a new road, on a new path, and that means I've got destiny, I've got purpose, and I've got a mission. And if you look in the dictionary, to lay hold means to apprehend, seize. It's chasing, grabbing, and not letting go. So what Paul is saying is Jesus chased him, grabbed him, and He set him on that new road. So what is my mission? What is our purpose? What is our destiny? It's ultimately to bring glory to God. And you cannot bring glory to God if you don't know Him. And so we spend this life getting to know Jesus and then to make Him known to everyone. This is a lifelong process, and it takes years to grow to maturity. Even with Ethan and Bethany, even though I sometimes do, it's unfair to expect certain things from a 4 and 5 year old. And I cannot put a piece of T-bone steak in front of Carter and expect him just to eat it. These things take time. So in our journey of becoming Christ like Christ, He gives us some things to keep us on track. This will keep us from being ineffective and unfruitful. So just a little story of when I decided to do my first 10K race. I could only run 5Ks comfortably when I decided that's it, I need to push myself to the next level. I'm going to run a 10K race. So 5 was the most I'd ever done comfortably. But I decided, you know what, I need to push myself. I registered, got my number, and whatever, and went online, checked the route, and I saw that there was a water point every 3 Ks. So in my mind, this was my how I was going to get through my first 10 Ks. Just run 3, have water, rest, walk, then just run 3, have water, rest, walk, and then just run the last 3, and then just walk the last 1. This was my thinking. And it worked. So I remember just like, it was hard. It was great. I ran my first 3, got to the water point, stopped, like had my water, carried on. Then I just said to myself, you can do 3, now just do another 3. I did that 3, got to the next water point, got my energy drink, and did my last 3. So Jesus gives us some water points to get us through our race. 2 Peter 1:5-9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So number one is faith. That's the foundation. That's not the first thing you add. That's what Jesus has done for you when you believe what he's done for you. To that foundation, you add goodness. Goodness is becoming more like Jesus. It's acting like him. It's acting Christ-like. That's a water point that will get you through a lot of things, allowing just to be like Jesus. Knowledge. Knowledge through the Word of God. God's Word will make us knowledgeable. Why would we need to be knowledgeable? Because we need to know Jesus better. Number 3 to add to that is self-control. The only way to have self-control is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to allow him to guide you, to lead you. Add to that perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to endure hardships and distress, and that will help us keep follow Jesus even in trials. Add to that godliness. One way of being godly is just to be aware of Jesus in every area of your life. Every aspect, every area, just bring him in and it'll bring godliness. Mutual affection. Christ accepts everyone, so can we. And love, self-sacrificing love, we can only learn that from Jesus. So I just want to share 3 things that can hinder your growth and maturity in life. This is not an exhaustive list, and it will be very different for all of us. These are just 3 areas in my life that has affected my growth and my maturity. Number 1 is trials, pain, and suffering. John Piper says, God's glory shines more brightly when he satisfies us in times of loss, more so than when he provides for us in times of plenty. The way you respond to pain, trials, and sufferings can literally stop you in your tracks. Pain shows the real you. It breaks down every idealistic way, idea, and thought, and it leaves you in a very vulnerable place. Yet in James, it tells us to rejoice in our trials, which isn't always easy. So I'm just going to read James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So for 4 years of my life, I was consumed by the pain of infertility, to the point where I couldn't even worship God. I was on eldership, and I would stand in the front row, and I was unable to worship. And being very aware of everyone behind me, probably looking at me, I felt under a lot of pressure, and yet I couldn't. This pain just affected my relationship with God, and it affected my relationship with people. But for some reason, I just held on to it. I thought if I held on to it, I could use it to make God do something for me. How immature. And one morning in worship, I was sitting in the front row, and once again couldn't worship, just pretending. Jesus said to me, "Am I your great reward? If you never have one child, am I going to be enough for you?" And I couldn't answer him. So it took me about 3 to 4 months to finally one morning get to the place, and I surrendered all. And I said, "Lord, you are enough for me." And it was honestly the most amazing day of my life because Jesus set me free. Did I still cry about not having kids? Yes. I was still down, but now I wasn't keeping that between us anymore. Now I was using my pain to draw closer to God. And that was such a freeing time. It was only about a year after that, so it wasn't instantly God then said, "You've surrendered." It was another year of walking that before we adopted Ethan, and my life changed. So, number two, comparisons. When you spend your life comparing yourself to others, there is no time to grow. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 26. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is it with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' Those parts, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." So we are all different. We've all been given different gifts and talents. Stop comparing yourself. We've been in ministry for 14 years. And I can just honestly say that I've seen a lot of people, when they start comparing themselves, even within a church, it's just unhelpful. It's unhelpful to your growth, to your spiritual walk. And just as a person, know who God has called you to be and just be bold. Even in my own life, I've done that many times. Just even taking over from Manny and Dawn, I thought I had to be another Dawn, which I can't be. So be secure in who God has made you. And once you that, you can just keep walking in your maturity on the road that God wants from you. Number three, fear. our comfort and security in life can become the most important thing. So much so that we refuse to trust God. It's like the Israelites in the Promised Land. They wanted to be safe and secure, didn't want to risk what God wanted for them. Even in my own life, I've allowed fear to keep me from possessing everything that Jesus has for me. And it's still one of the things that I have to daily face and allow God to remind me of His promises. The fear of not having enough, the fear of rejection, fear of bad news, fear of death. Don't allow fear to stop your growth and overcome it by God's word. Overcoming fear is by God's word. And the word is the sword of the spirit, and fear is your enemy. So that is the only way to overcome that thing. Speak God's word, declare God's word, and get that word in you. Psalm 112, verse 7 to 8. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they'll look in triumph on their foes. Don't let fear paralyze you from being obedient to God. So God wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to become more like Christ. We glorify Him when we are like His Son Jesus. In this wonderful race that He's put us on, He has also not left us alone. You don't run a race by yourself. There's always people around you. The most important one is Jesus. He says He'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do all these things, to take hold of the things that Jesus has already done for us, sets us up for success. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be like His Son Jesus. All you need to do is accept and believe what He's already done for you and to walk in that. At the same time, Jesus puts us in community, into a family. We can mutually encourage each other. We can walk this journey together. And just, Jesus paved the way for us. We simply walk in it.
I think she's done well. She's done well. There's an anointing on those three things that need to be broken over our lives here today. The first thing is understanding, just as Sharissa shared, that Christ has taken a hold of you. And even what she said, the faith that we have has actually been granted to us by Jesus. Now we start to add to that faith. And there's wonderful things that God has given us that we can add to it. And it's really becoming about and more like Jesus. But there's a lot in this world that's going to keep us becoming like Jesus. And of those three things, if you are struggling in any one of those things, if you felt hindrance in your race through pain, trials, and troubles, through fear, and through comparison, I think it would be good for us to pray. I wonder if somebody could... Ray, would you mind tickling the guitar for me, please? I think there's a time for ministry as we just allow the Spirit to move upon us here. And Jesus wants to set people free. If we, just in the light of thinking of Mother's Day, for women, sometimes one of the hardest things in the world is to deal with your identity of not being a mother when you want to be a mother. And I tell you, God wants to just set people free from that thing today too. That you are everything that He wants you to be through your salvation and through what Jesus Christ has saved you to be. If He saved you, you're everything you need to be. And God can add to you or take away from you. God did an amazing miracle for us. For you to understand, just quickly, God had to add to me and He had to take from Sharissa in order for us to fall pregnant. I never had the stuff that you need. And Sharissa had stuff that stopped the process. And so God had to take it from me and He had to add to her, and He did it. And He's done it doubly so. And but it is that place of saying, God, I'm going to love You and I'm going to worship You. I want to be whole. I want to be all that You want me to be. I want to take a hold of that for which you've taken hold of for me. Many times we're trying to take hold of the gifts and the promises and the children and the blessings and the money and the jobs. We're trying to take hold of all those things that God has taken hold of us for something else. So if He has taken a hold of you if you believe in Jesus. He's taken a hold of you. But now it's a matter of taking hold of what He's got for you. Because those things you hardly have to strive for because He's already put them in the journey for you. But sometimes we're distracted because we're trying to fill our hands with so many other things. And He's saying, what about this, Brad? And we're saying, I haven't got time for that, God. I think let's drop all the stuff we've been carrying. Let's drop all the burdens and all the things that we've been grabbing at. And let's step into the things that God's got for us. And we'll start to see He adds those other things that we thought we needed and thought we wanted. He adds them along the way anyway. Sharissa said, it's enough for me to worship you without one child. And now we've got four. Amen. God is... And the word is true. It says this. It's one of the Psalms. It says, He takes a barren woman and He makes her a happy mother of children. Do you believe God will do it for you? But the one, He didn't die to give you children. He died to save you on that cross and to give you eternal life. And if you can seek first that, He'll give you everything else.